This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In this talk, Reggie says that the true Dharma is always a surprise. When reality strikes, our lives are upended and we are presented with a choice: leap to the groundlessness or try to shore up the bubble of ego and solidify our story of reality. This talk was given at the 2010 Winter Datun Retreat, held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
One of the themes that we're going to be exploring during this Datun is the way in which we are, as people, interconnected with everything. Now, I know many of you have read books on Buddhism, and you know about the teaching of what Thich Nhat Hanh calls interbeing, the teaching that, you know, on a philosophical level, that all things arise based on causes and conditions, and that any moment of the universe is an expression of all the causes and conditions that have ever existed coming together in this moment to produce this moment. This moment is simply a reflection of the being of the universe in the present and in the past, and strangely enough, in the future. Now, that's an intellectual teaching. It's a philosophical teaching. However, when we enter the arena of practice, when we exit the bubble and we begin to explore the world outside the bubble, we actually begin to find that reality can be experienced by ourselves. There is a famous sutra called the Avatamsaka Sutra, and in it, it has a parable. There's a fisherman's net called the net of Indra, the creator. He's known as the creator god in Hindu mythology and Buddhist mythology. And each intersection of the in the net, there's a jewel. This is known as the jeweled net of Indra. So you get the picture, there's this huge net. And every single place where the threads intersect to make the net, there's a jewel. And this jewel reflects the entire universe. And this jewel is our being and our life. What is being said here is that our small, very short life is a reflection of the entire universe. All of its power, all of its vastness, all of its splendor is reflected in us, in our state of being. All of the people who have ever lived or ever will live, all of the realms, all of the universes throughout time and space are actually reflected in us. When we consider what is enlightenment from the viewpoint of the Avatamsaka Sutra, which is very much the viewpoint of this lineage, enlightenment is realizing that our life is a reflection of all being, of all time and all space. Now that's a very vast vision of human life. And for, you know, we're just little people kind of going along. And none of us is higher than any of us. We're all the highest and the lowest. In, you know, post-agricultural societies or, you know, agrarian societies, you have a lot of hierarchies. Isn't that true? I mean, a lot of hierarchies in our world, based on wealth, based on supposedly, you know, religious position. The teaching of the Avatamsaka Sutra is all hierarchies are bullshit, basically. Every single person is a jewel in the net of Indra. That's a very vast vision. We have been schooled and educated to place ourselves within the pecking order, whether we're at the top or the bottom. This is how we actually think about ourselves. There's a pecking order of youth versus old age. There's a pecking order of intelligence. There's a pecking order of emotional sensitivity. There's a pecking order of wealth. There's a pecking order of family functionality. There's a pecking order of relationships. There's a pecking order of jobs. There are millions and millions of pecking orders. Do you know what pecking orders are? I mean, this is actually real. Do you know chickens actually have pecking orders? And if somebody gets out of order, they get pecked to death. Well, it's very similar in our society. You know, we think we live in a free society. Forget it. I mean, everybody's in a certain place. You try to step out of that, and they will peck you. And they'll all come after you. One chicken comes over, and then the other one comes over, and then you've got 5,000 chickens pecking you, top to bottom. I know this from personal experience. And so we have come to learn a way of being that is based on setting ourselves within all of this entire social framework. And it's very limited. And believe me, people, whether they're at the top or the bottom of any particular pecking order, everybody is limited, constrained, constricted, impacted by what they think of themselves. So when, you know, and this is what we call samsara. This is samsara. This is the cause of suffering, is basically that we're trying to fit ourselves into a box that is a million times too small for us. So Buddhism offers the path of meditation. Buddhism offers the promise of personal realization and spiritual fulfillment. And what is meant by that is simply that we discover who we actually are in all of our vastness and all of our power and all of our splendor as people. And it's not that we personally, it's not that our ego is vast or our ego is powerful, but it's that once we strip away the identifications we have with all these relative limited identities that we use to feel good and make ourselves acceptable to other people, once we strip those away, we actually begin to discover a life. I won't even say it's a person, but we discover a life that is vast, powerful, and filled with splendor. And that is a life that is constantly unfolding all the time. And the more we go along the path, the more we discover about what life is. This is not a horizontal journey. It's not that we gather more information. It's that each stage in the path, there are these moments of transition and crisis where you make a quantum leap into a different state of being. It's a different state of being. The universe becomes a different place. The realm of sentient beings is seen differently and felt differently. This is what's called fundamental personal transformation. Many people in life feel that such a thing is actually not possible. They feel that what life is simply, you know, life is what I see, life is who I am, and I just need to make it better and more secure. That's a horizontal journey. You're not changing frequency. You're not changing realms. Buddhism offers a method, not just that we make a life transition, but that life itself becomes an unending series of transitions and transformations. Sounds good, maybe. Maybe sounds good, I don't know. I mean, if it doesn't sound good, it's time to leave. But on the other hand, we are very attached to our security, all of us, of course. You know, I personally have a huge amount of sympathy for all sentient beings, and especially for human beings, because their lives are so fragile and so filled with suffering, and there's so much struggle, and there's so much incredibly deep, unresolvable pain in each one of us. When I was a lot younger, I looked at people and they seemed to be okay. But now I don't think anybody's okay. Nobody's okay. All of us, each one of us, me and you and everybody, carries a tremendously deep sense of pain and fear. I mean, we know how fragile our life is. We know how easily everything can fall apart. And on some level, we actually know we're going to get sick, we're going to suffer, and we're going to die. We all know this. So I have a tremendous amount of sadness and sympathy for our collective, our mutual condition as human beings. It's very, very difficult. We should never... I mean, of course, we get angry at people, we become frustrated, but fundamentally, we always have to remember what we're all trying to deal with, and it's really impossible. It's really impossible. There's no winning. I mean, we're basically all on death row. And on some level, we all know it, and we're just trying to put a good face on it. You know, you're going to be given a lethal injection tomorrow morning, and... First they're going to put in the drug to put you to sleep. And then they put in the drug to paralyze you, but unfortunately you wake up just as they're putting in the drug to paralyze you. So there you are, you can't move. And then they put in the drug to kill you. I mean, it's actually worse, it's probably worse than a lot of other forms of execution. And our situation is they're bringing in a meal. You know, hey, here's some hot dogs and... You requested, mustard and ketchup. Here it is. Enjoy. That's our situation. And that's as good as it gets. It doesn't get better than that. So there has to be, you know, that sense of incredible amount of kindness to ourselves and to other people because of what we're all dealing with. But at the same time, we have to realize that we are hanging on for dear life to identities that are cutting us off actually from being free. So the challenge that Buddhism provides is if you are willing to deal with your fear, your insecurity, your vulnerability, your paranoia, your loneliness, if you're actually willing to enter into your own state of being and experience yourself in an open and fearless way, there's a path here. There's a path here that will take you to what they call Amrita Bhavana, which means a state of undying. You will find that at your basis and in your core, who you really are, what you really are, is undying. And beyond that, you find that the world itself is a series of moments of eternity, actually, strangely enough. The sense experience that we have, the ordinary encounters, the situations, you know, somebody's pajamas thrown on the bed, a dirty dish in the sink, sound of the wind. These are not any of them ordinary experiences. They're actually moments of eternity. Eternity expresses itself in the relative. This is what we don't know. We think that eternity has to be some kind of big thing outside of this world, some other place. What we don't realize is eternity expresses itself in the most mundane relativity of our life, and we've never thought to look there. Meditation is the way we learn to look and we learn to see. When you begin to discover the undying in yourself, and you begin to discover eternity in the individual moments of your life, however painful or pleasurable they may be, then you begin to realize the vastness, the power, and the splendor actually of this existence that you have. It's not even that we have, it's that you have. The whole thing in Buddhism is the empowerment of the individual. It's all about empowering. Now, empowering is a very strange word because it sounds like somebody's going to give you something that's going to unlock this power, or I won't even say unlock. They're going to give you something that you don't have. That's what empowerment sounds like. You know, I'm going to sit up here, I'm going to empower you. But actually, the way it works is that the Dharma is about discovering that everything, not only that you need, but everything that the universe has for you is already present in your experience. And the Dharma is a key that opens up that experience and realization in you. It's sometimes said that, actually I'll quote you an example. There's a person named Milarepa that many of you know about. Is a Tibetan, actually had a pretty terrible life. His father died when he was very young. His family was basically turned into slaves in Tibet, and very, very bad situation. He was beaten. He was starved. He picked up, his mother was insane, basically, and he picked up her insanity because he's basically a pretty open person. And through various circumstances, he ran into this tradition. And his teacher said, listen, you are so incredibly screwed up that the only possible route for you is the direct route. So you should go up in the mountain, sit in a cave for the next 40 years of your life and simply look into your own experience and keep looking until you realize the jewel net of Indra. The fact that your life is an incarnation of the universe in its most sacred and powerful manifestation. And he did that. And he, people used to come visit him and they'd say, you know, boy, you really, what kind of life is this? You know, you don't have enough to eat and you're dirty. You're freezing cold. And you're lonely. You never see anybody. And Milarepa says, you know, listen, you know, this may be hard for you to understand, but I am the happiest person on the planet Earth. I'm the happiest person in the entire world because I have discovered that everything that I've ever wanted, everything that I've ever longed for is here moment by moment by moment. That's the discovery of meditation. It's a very radical journey that is being proposed. And it's not for everybody. I mean, I personally actually feel it is for everybody, but I have to say it's not for everybody because because it's not for everybody at this moment, obviously, or we'd have 7.5 billion people in this shrine room or in some shrine room. But on the other hand, if it is for you, it's here. You know, there's a gate that is standing open in your life now, in our lives. And it's the gate to the bubble. You know, we're inside the bubble. But the gate is open and we can feel the fresh air coming through. And even though it's terrifying to begin to walk out, you know, when you've been living in a bubble, in a hermetically sealed, climate-controlled environment, and for the first time in your life, you begin to experience real fresh air and real blue sky and real sunlight and real rain and real hail and real wind, it can be terrifying. But if you understand what's at stake, I mean, what is at stake for all of us is our lives. And if that's understood, then it becomes workable. We can do it, you know, because we see others around us who have that same longing and the same fear and so on.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.